Welcome to the Quartering Podcast for Thursday, the 19th of May. First up, things just hit rock bottom for disgraced Twitter employee.
This might be a new low for Twitter employees. Probably the most embarrassing moment I've ever seen. Look, I get it. I'm sure there are moments in my life when maybe I had, I was overserved, so to speak, and maybe I say something stupid, and if that was caught on tape, that would be super embarrassing. For this guy, I'm sure he knows he's on the top of the list to be fired the day that Elon takes over. He may even be fired beforehand for sharing company secrets and obviously getting caught in the honey stick, the honey cone. But this is super embarrassing. Part two of the Asperger's Elon Musk interview gets kind of rolled out. And in this part of the interview, James locates this individual and literally chases him down the street over the remarks. This via tweaktown.com. Twitter leader, client partner Alex Martinez has been busted on video again with some rather terrible remarks about Elon and his Asperger syndrome, blah, blah, blah. Look, I'm not going to feign heavens to Murgatroyd. He made fun of him for having Asperger. I don't care about that. That's secondary, ancillary. Yes, it's funny, a funny display of hypocrisy. But like, I care about free speech. I care about Twitter meddling in with shadow bans and censorship. And that's what I care about first and foremost. Dunking on this guy is fun too. But, the video is in the aftermath where Martinez was busted talking smack about Elon Musk, where PV James opens up the video out for a jog in the streets of New York with Twitter brass. You could see this.
How executive in confront him? Hi, Alex.
Hi.
I'm James O'Keefe at Project.
Dude just like sits down at the table with him. And by the way, I'll show you clips in this video too that are actually really awesome. So this dude, I don't know where they are. He runs into a comedy club, and the owner of the comedy club is like, bro, you want to come in there and just go on stage and out him in front of everybody? Like, the Joe and Jane Everyman or everyone, they like the media would have you believe that like, oh, everyone hates Elon. No, just like deranged leftists hate Elon. Look at this.
Project Veritas.
Oh my God.
You are on hidden camera.
Okay.
Talking about Elon Musk. Why is it funny?
Well, no, I'm just like, you're literally just trying to like capture me in the middle of my own dinner.
By the way, he's eating by himself at a restaurant. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, but just saying, I'm just pointing it out.
Yes. Quote, your special needs, you're literally special needs. I don't even take what you're saying seriously because you're special needs.
That's not true.
It's like, I'm a girl.
That's not true, except you literally did say that. And then it looks like he gets asked to leave.
That's not true.
It's like, I'm a girl.
We're journalists, and I know that you don't believe in the First Amendment.
I'm going to just finish my dinner. So.
Your dinner's over there.
I love Elon Musk.
Love Elon Musk. If you look through the glass,
the owner of the restaurant, excuse me, when they find out that, like, they don't know this owner is just like a regular, probably busy running the restaurant, doesn't really know exactly what's going on, comes out saying, oh, I love Elon.
He's sitting over there avoiding us. So this is you on video.
They got some old boomer in here is like getting all worked up. Wait, is he in a wheelchair too?
Excuse me? Why are you cursing at me?
The other team's like, easy player, you're on camera. Like what they're really saying there is like, the other people at that table are probably like, dude, you know that's James O'Keefe, right? Like, whoever that Dan guy is or Dad or whatever they're saying, like, whatever you got skeletons might be out there, like, you better be careful, player. So then he's outside hiding or sitting at a restaurant table ordering some food, right?
There he
goes. Ready?
Okay, I'm never.
And he's in a dead run.
I want to take a jog. Why are you running? You're literally disclosing an email.
I didn't.
It's
this is journalism. I mean, like, Yes, it's a private citizen. I don't think it's not like he showed up at his home. It's a, you know, like, look, you do it once, you corner him, you get the interview, fine. If you continue to follow him around after this, you know, it might get a little uncomfortable, but like, I'm 100% fine with this. They're out in public. And by the way, the left is 100% fine with this too.
Says right, here's the email. I can read. Team, groups like Project Veritas are active right now, right?
So they're running down the street. Then he goes into a comedy
city.
Club.
How do you run in here? Maybe he's going to go on stage.
You tell me.
Now, this is the owner of the comedy club talking that you hear now. He says, why did he run in here? And then the owner says, maybe he's going to go up on stage and do some stand-up.
Some stand-up.
You can do that,
Jerry. Yeah. That would be good if you go on stage.
About to go on stage with a video.
He's going to do it, right? Like, he was going to go on stage at this comedy club then to bring up everything. He's got the video. He's ready to go. He's live streaming it. Like, you got to give him credit.
The tape of this Twitter exam.
Even though him dancing at like the TPUSA thing, nah. Anyway,
executive in confront him. Here we go. Oh, there he is. He's turned around. There you are, mocking the special needs. Well, you have already talked to us, sir. You are mocking Elon Musk's Asperger's condition. What is Twitter's ideology? The Twitter executive is walking into traffic. He's going back and forth, zigzagging like he's got into a cab. That was crazy.
Hell yeah.
And there's, in the full length video, which you can watch on their channel, like there's a lot of like guy on the street people being like, what's going on? And like, they know.
Emails from within Twitter leaked to Project Veritas from this man. Oh, talking about Project Veritas groups right now active to get social.
Like, you know, so you get this guy, like guys on the street. Here's the comedy club owner. Like, I can't imagine it gets more embarrassing. You know, video cuts to O'Keefe talking to people. I love Elon. He's the one that, you know, is, you know, these people all love Elon because they see him as kind of an, you know, fighting for the little guy, so to speak, even though I don't, you know, I think people should stop short of like worshiping everything, even though I cover a lot of what he's doing. It's because I think that it's super important. You know, I don't think that Tesla is the best car ever on the planet. Yes, my wife owns one, but so what? I'm not one of those weirdos. You know, I have Starlink. If I didn't have Starlink, my business would be completely crippled. I'm moving. I got hosed by the high-speed internet people who were supposed to run high-speed internet. They just never did. You know, unprecedented times or whatever they say. They tried to extort me for $70,000 to run a line that they told me they would run for $30,000. Now Starlink works out there, and it's just fine. You know, it's not as good as dedicated fiber would have been, but I can run my business on it, and it's $100 a month, not $2,200 a month, which is what they were going to charge me for a dedicated fiber line. And again, I hear everybody typing in the comments, oh, am I paying for this for whatever for my fiber? Yes, but understand that I live in the middle of nowhere. They had to run a dedicated line for miles up the road and to my house. So it's a little different scenario, but now I'm just going to use my Starlink. So like, yes, I enjoy his products, but I'm more interested in this Twitter deal, whether or not that's going to go through. This is probably one of the most embarrassing moments for a Twitter employee ever. Like the comments, this genuinely feels like a sketch, not in a bad way. It's just so insane. Thank you, James and PV, for what you've done. LOL, this is by far the funniest expose that he's ever done. Honestly, it should be trending everywhere right now, including CNN. I see no reason as to why not. Well, you know really why not. Easy to troll, difficult to have the skills for polite society without hiding. This is the real world effect of hiding behind a computer, breaking society. Nice example. Like, these people think that they're better than you. They think that they have a right to control the information that you consume. And you see, when regular everyday people see what's going on, they don't agree with that. And I think that the work that they do is extremely important. I don't buy this. Yes, I know there's this one time in the past where something was out of context, whatever, but I mean, the context is right here. The full context is right here. How can you dismiss it?
And next up today, Disney blasted for releasing woke clothing line for kids. Consumer confidence plummets.
Interesting news broke yesterday of some curious business decisions by the folks over at Disney that has ruffled some feathers. On top of a new report that consumer confidence and interest in the Disney as a brand has absolutely hit rock bottom, and their stock continues to tank. Here's a view of today, just down $1, about 1%. But if we want to look at over the last month, it's down 22%. And for the last 6 months, it's down 32%. I mean, year to date, 34%. Although that's a shorter period, that'd be like 5 months. Over a year, down nearly 40%. The Disney stock has been absolutely cratering, and it's been for obviously a wide variety of reasons. There was obviously the COOF shutdowns. Then they decided to get political. It's whether or not people are invested in their programming. The Disney Plus service growth has slowed. And now, thankfully, though, we have Disney launches LGBTQ Pride Collection clothing for kids. Promises to donate profits to LGBTQ organizations. Now, okay, sure. That's a fine thing to do, I guess. What I think is curious is the timing. And, you know, when you're a company like Disney, there are decisions that are made for profit, right? The smart business decisions. And then there is this, which is virtue signal. This is to try and get credit back because they didn't immediately oppose the anti-grooming bill that was passed in Florida, which them opposing it wouldn't have stopped it from passing anyway. But weirdos online think for whatever reason it would have. This on top of Disney, after shoving woke politics down the throats of customers, Disney's favorability rating takes a massive dive. Let's start with the clothing line. Disney launched new LGBTQ's Pride Collection clothing line for kids on Monday, including several rainbow-colored t-shirts. The Disney Pride Collection was created by LGBTQIA+ employees, shocking, and allies at the Walt Disney Company, and is a reflection of their incredible contributions and place at the heart of the community. Disney said in a statement, "We stand in solidarity with our LGBTQIA+ community everywhere." Curious, are you going to be making this clothing line available in China? I mean, you say everywhere, but do you mean everywhere? Because that would include like China and Saudi Arabia and Russia and all these places where you make a lot of money, okay? In the same announcement, Disney promised to donate all of its domestic profits from the Pride Collection to organizations that support LGBTQ causes until the end of June, also known as Pride Month. Oh yeah, oh my God, it's almost Pride Month. I can't wait for corporations to, you know, pick up their favorite. It's like that whole Toy Story meme. June comes around, suddenly we're all about Pride, and then the end of June, they drop the toy. But idiots on Twitter fall for it every year. Groups designated to benefit from their sale includes all sorts of organizations. While Disney's Pride Collection clothing, both for kids and adults, comes in preparation for Pride Month, the move also comes as the company has been targeted by Florida's GOP office, Governor Ron DeSantis, and other Republicans. The company opposed the state's parental rights and education bill, legislation prohibiting grooming. In a Fox News interview in late March, DeSantis responded to Disney's criticism of the bill. This is a real bill that empowers parents and protects our kids. And for a company like Disney to say that this bill should never have passed, for them to say that as a California-based company are going to work to take those California values and overturn the law that was duly enacted, and as you said, supported by a strong majority of Floridians, they don't run this state. They will never run the state as long as I'm governor. Of course. Late April, of course, we remember that DeSantis sent another bill stripping Disney of its special privileges that allowed the company to govern its land. I'm just not comfortable having that type of agenda get special treatment in my state, DeSantis said when discussing the bill. Disney, of course, then held an all-hands-on-deck meeting in March, and a Disney executive engineer told employees that the company welcomed her not so secret at all, gay agenda. That's a quote. They're turning it around, LaToya Raveno said in reference to Disney's leadership. And all the momentum that I felt, that a sense of, I don't have to be afraid. Let's have these two characters kiss in the background. Wherever I could, I was basically adding queerness to show, if you see anything queer in the show, the proud family. No one would stop me, and no one was trying to stop me. Look, I don't go so far as to say like this stuff should be banned, or you know, that's, you know, I don't know. I don't go that far. But I question motives when people are like saying that they have to slip things in, or they have to, you know, they have a quote unquote agenda. That's kind of a loaded word. Is this discussions that, you know, that it's, you know, Disney has a right to thrust upon parents and families? You know, these are all questions that I think most people get behind. Then, according to Bonding and Comics and some reporting by a few folks, Disney's favorability rating has taken a massive dive since last year. A new poll has revealed, which sees the company's approval collapsing from 77% to an embarrassing 33% among respondents. Unsurprisingly, these are not the results the mainstream media outlets want to focus on. For context, the poll was commissioned by NBC News and conducted by Hart Research, Associates Public Opinion Strategies, from the 5th of May through the 10th of May, asking for a total of 1,000 adults a series of questions in relation to politics, political figures, and Disney. Conversely, other institutions and political affiliations mentioned in the poll commissioned by NBC to include the United States Supreme Court, Democratic Party, blah, 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 blah. Florida Politics published an article pointing to one of the results obtained by Hart Research Associates Public Opinion Strategies, which showed the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was edged out by Disney in terms of popularity. According to the article, the poll showed Disney outperforming DeSantis in overall with 33% for Disney and 28% DeSantis. That's not exactly the own you thought it was, is it? That's not the own you had hoped it would be. The article was shared on social media by Florida Politics publisher Peter Schrosch with caption, "The mouse is more important than the governor." NBC poll, Disney edges out Ron DeSantis in popularity, attempting to put their own spin on the poll results. Media strategist Giancarlo Sopo, oh, I know Giancarlo, was quick to call out the post, writing on his own personal Twitter account, "Yikes, I've polled Disney and cannot emphasize enough how abysmal these numbers are for them." Sopo even shared a screenshot of the poll commissioned by NBC to drive his point home, writing, "Disney's name ID is 100%. Their favorability, unfavorable rating was 71-21, plus 56 last year. Their post negative rating now is 33-30. Entertainment brand ratings should not be on par with politicians," he pointed out. I know he's off to a new job, too, by the way. Shout out to Giancarlo. Writer, filmmaker, and researcher Christopher Rufo echoes Sopo's sentiment, taking to social media to support the notion that Disney's favorability has dropped considerably in the last year, attributing the massive dive of the company's incessant pandering to the woke mob. "The share of Americans with favorable impression of Disney has collapsed from 77% to just 33% today. This is a catastrophic reputational damage and a warning to other companies, the cost of going woke." In a series of follow-up tweets, Rufo doubles down on the particular statement, adding, "Disney, which built a family brand over the course of a century, is now less popular than both Joe Biden and Donald Trump. It's stunning. Brands typically have much higher favorability ratings than political figures, but when Disney started to promote left-wing politics, it had soon had a favorability rating roughly equal to the most polarizing national politicians. There's a lesson there. We will see if this translates into financial consequences at the next quarterly earnings report. The most recent quarterly earnings report only covered through April 2nd, before the leaked video drove the media cycle and before the DeSantis legislation. The leaked videos Rufo brings up in his tweet were shared by himself in March of this year, as shown in the materials obtained by journalists. Disney's president of general entertainment content, Carrie Burke, and others admitted to having a, quote, agenda that seeks to push particular LGBTQ content in programs targeted to kids. In one of the videos, Burke, who claims to be the mother of a trans pan child, pointed out how important it was to have many, many, many LGBTQIA characters in our stories. Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you represent 2% of the population as if it were 70%? I mean, why wouldn't you do that, right? That's what this is all about, right? Like, these people are obsessed, and it's destroying their businesses, and I couldn't be happier about it. Like, literally, I couldn't be happier. If Disney closed tomorrow, the world would be a better place, and I just don't see any argument against that.
And next up today, Facebook employees busted trading favors with e-girls for unbanning Instagram pages.
Hey, I don't hate the player. I just hate the game. I mean, I think it's pretty hilarious. We've long made jokes about like Twitch mods having relationships with female Twitch streamers that allow them to skirt the rules, so to speak, get around things, simps that give them breaks. But now we have Instagram and Facebook employees directly implicated, multiple ones, of literally chicks banging them to get their Instagram accounts unbanned. I mean, this is actually, it's hilarious, it's sad, but it's also an important issue in terms of just how arbitrary the ban process is on Facebook and Instagram, and how many people just don't have the particular equipment in order to benefit from this, in order to get their accounts unbanned. And thanks to Adam22 over at No Jumper, shout out to his show, we have one of the best clips I've seen in a long time. Now, we all know the immense value and power, or the earning potential, of like a large Instagram, a large Twitter, or a large YouTube channel can have. We all know that on each individual platform, people get banned all the time for things that are difficult to really, you know, sometimes somebody does something really stupid and you're like, oh, that's why they got banned, okay? But a lot of times it's difficult to know why people got banned. And it turns out, even, you know, what these women of the night have revealed, and essentially that's what I'm going to call this particular woman who admits trading, sleeping with people to unban her account. That's like literal the transaction, okay? It's a transactional hookup in exchange for an item of value. So you're just a hooker in that particular case. But again, no hate. Good for her. I assume that her account will be banned today. It really probably should be. The employees that engage in this behavior and unbanned the account should be fired today. I think that goes without saying. But what it really exposes is just the human element. How these losers behind the scenes will ruin your life for a little piece of the sweet warm walls. How, you know, and look, again, I mean, the guys are the pathetic ones. I mean, the girl is just using whatever it is that she has in order to obtain an item that she wants. You see a lot of people, Adam22, the other day we had an OF girl on the show. She said she got her Instagram deleted, so she started messaging Facebook employees on LinkedIn and hooking up with them until one of them finally gave her account back. I mean, here's the unedited clip.
The first time that I got my Instagram down, or that I got it shut down, one of my friends, he works at Instagram, he's a guy friend, and so I started sleeping with him to have him get my Instagram back.
And it worked. Again, whoever your friend is, that's pathetic, bro. Like, there's no way it's that good. But and also, by the way, how many other like MySpace employees did you hook up with to get that page back? This is OF Star claims to have hooked up with Meta workers to resolve an Instagram ban. Now, maybe she's completely lying. I don't believe so. I believe that she is 100% telling the truth. The amateur self video promoter, known as whatever, I don't care, described the scandalous claim on the No Jumper podcast. All you have to do is have someone really, really like you, the skin influencer, explained in the segment, which podcast host Adam recently uploaded to Twitter, where it boasts more than 900,000 views, has a million now. In the shocking clip captioned, "How to get your Instagram account back if you get deleted," she claims that she hooked up with multiple Meta workers after Instagram account got shut down 3 or 4 times. It's unclear what she'd been taken down for, but the adult, entertainer frequently linked to her OF account on the page, the Daily Dot reported. Advertising spicy sites is prohibited by Meta's guidelines, so it's pretty obvious that's what it was. Now, let me just throw this out there. If you have hooked up in order to get a Instagram account restored, okay, let me just put this out there. And you're like, okay, sweet, I'll unban it, big deal, I don't care, right? You should get fired, that's aside. But then wouldn't you be tempted, like, Oh no, it got banned again. Ooh, curses. And then just wait. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, like, you know, wouldn't you consider it? I guess it would depend on how good it was. It's certainly been used up, that's for sure. In the clip out of yourself, she claims she hooked up with multiple Meta workers. You know, fine. I don't really care. The e-girls are a dime a dozen. They're a dime a million. So in accordance, she also decided to take things in her own hand. The first time I got my Instagram shut down, one of my friends, he works at Instagram, he's a guy friend, so I started hooking up with him. I had my Instagram account back, and he did, which was really nice of him. She added that her inside guy subsequently informed her what the review process was like when you get your Instagram account shut down. So he basically told me that the integrity department is up for reviews. So the social media star then, who frequently shares spicy photos, don't really care. Armed with this info, she went on the social media man middleman's LinkedIn to look up connections to the integrity department. After messaging moderators failed, the sleuthing influencer decided to find them on Instagram instead. I contacted them on Instagram through my backup and still spicy account, explained the person, who eventually managed to get in touch with someone who knew about her podcast, Girls Gone Wireless podcast. We met up. I hooked up with a couple of them, and I was able to get my account back in like two or three times. Again, I'm not dumping on this girl, which apparently she might actually do if her Instagram account gets banned. But I'm saying, like, the guys are pathetic at Facebook that are doing this. You know, hooking up with employees for social media favors might seem seedy, but she claims her case highlighted the arbitrary nature of Instagram's internal decision-making. Oh, please. Oh, please. Let's dial it back a little bit. You know, you weren't thinking about that. You were just using what you got to get what you wanted, which is all power to you, okay? Every time they put in another review, it gets sent to a different person, she explained. In order to get the account back, if they deny you the first time, basically what a person has to do is keep trying, keep putting in reviews, or just bang them, right? She says a goal to get someone to like you, and perhaps they'll rally for you and get your account back. Conversely, if that person doesn't like your face or doesn't care or is too lazy to really review your case, they'll just close it and stick to their decision. She insists that she never deserved to have her account banned in the first place. There are creators like whatever. She has very spicy pictures. I barely post anything like that. Her ban comes after Instagram updated its term of service. Well, you're probably getting banned for linking off to your OF account, I'm guessing. A Facebook spokesperson has acknowledged that that OF isn't a prawn website. We know it can be used in that way, so we take action on accounts that share OF links when paired with other spicy content. In light of stringent rules, she claims she'd swap a hooking up for social media reinstatement in the future. I'd 100% do it again, she told the Daily Dot. I deserve to be heard because I contribute to their platform in a sizable way. I don't really think that 200,000 followers is a lot on Instagram for like an e-girl. But like, you know, you can look at a lot of the replies. Can't believe I could have got my million follower Instagram follower account back if I just had a pita pop. Chris Raygun, I'm still out here turning tricks for a verified tick. Lamal the Taylor Lorenz shout out. I don't know. Like, I mean, it's pathetic for the employer, for the staff that's doing that. It just shows you, like, these people can, like, destroy a business, right? Like, if your business is on Instagram, maybe you're selling, like, whatever it is, some custom item, you know? They ban you. Are you supposed to then go bang them or blow them or something like that in order to get your account back? I mean, again, no disrespect to this lady. I don't want to say she's wrong, but the Asian community in LA isn't small. Just so y'all know, I also work in the Instagram department. Also, 69 likes. Nailed it. Pretty sad, but we pretty much knew exactly what was happening. This is probably not the first woman that's done it. There's probably been hundreds of them. And men are weak, getting honeypotted. It's a transaction where the men got what they wanted, she got what they wanted, she got what she wanted. But, you know, the regular people out there with accounts who are just trying to, you know, figure out why they got banned, I guess they just don't have that P privilege.
And next up, Elon Musk on the Twitter rampage after losing $12 billion in a single day, and calls our woke hacks.
Well, it appears that Elon has had a bad day, losing $12 billion in market cap yesterday, but he's gone on the offensive on Twitter, posting a bunch of memes that are riling everybody up, arguing with people, putting people in their place, dropping from the top rope, elbow style on his opponents. And he's got, you know, he's got the media seething. You can see this article from this morning. Elon Musk proves once again that the rules don't apply to him. How do you regulate a man with worth more than $200 billion who thinks he knows better than everyone else? Well, he knows better than probably most people. I would assume. I would assume he probably knows better than most people, to be honest with you. He's once again proven he'll do things his own way, announcing Friday that his deal with Twitter is on hold. He shared this news in a tweet rather than a formal filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The drama over the deal has continued to play out in a series of tweets between Musk and the company. Because the SEC ruled back in 2013 that Twitter and other social media platforms are an acceptable way for public companies to disclose material information, this might be one of the legal ways he's flouted convention. But many other moves Musk has had has broken actual rules, not just skirted norms. Yet none of it has slowed him down, nor changed his behavior. Ooh, that's just so fur. The financial penalties that regulators or business partners might put in place mean little to someone as wealthy as Musk. He's walking, tweeting proof that normal rules don't apply to the ultra-rich if they choose to ignore them. Well, I mean, I suppose you're fine with it when, you know, Mr. George does whatever he wants to do. You're fine when Bezos does whatever he wants to do. You're fine with Ted Turner doing whatever he wants to do. You're fine with Oprah doing whatever it is she wants to do. But you pretend that suddenly Elon Musk is some sort of existential threat that we must all fear. And you know, if Elon walks away from his deal, he could face a legal nightmare. This is from Insider, which is a trash outlet, beginning to end. And the media celebrating. Musk loses $12 billion in a day as he tweets politics and slams the ESG. Well, he did get screwed. Elon Musk spent Wednesday on Twitter Inc. announcing his political switch from Democrat to Republican, trashing the ESG, and replying to several users of a social media website he had agreed to buy. Meanwhile, Tesla Inc. sank to the lowest level of the year, wiping out $12.3 billion from his wealth, while Twitter further extended its slide. All told, Musk lost $49 billion since launching his bid for Twitter last month, partly as the wider market tumbled and some investors in Tesla grew concerned over how he'd fund his offer to the social media giant. Well, I mean, the overwhelming reason that you're seeing this market dip is not because Elon's getting owned. It's because we're headed into a recession. I mean, the market has been peeling back for quite some time. And then you have this situation where Elon tweets, Exxon is rated top 10 best in the world for environment. ExxonMobil, okay? Social and governance by S&P 500. While Tesla didn't make the list, ESG is a scam and it has been weaponized by phony social justice warriors. Well, he's not wrong. In a separate tweet, Musk said he'd supported Democrats in the past because they were mostly the kindness party, but now has changed his mind. They've become the party of division and hate, so I can no longer support them and will vote Republican. Again, I wouldn't argue, you know, against what he's saying. You know, both parties do plenty of dividing and hatred, but then we have a couple of different conversations. We have Howard Foreman. I don't know why people do these parentheses. I don't really understand it. But he is a Yale former Senate staff, and he has some tiny podcast, okay? And when you are explicitly... Okay, so Elon tweets, political attacks on me will escalate dramatically in coming months. Then Howard Foreman says, when you are explicitly political, you should expect people treat you as such, which part of that is confusing to you? Like the very condescending, hilarious response. Then, of course, Elon actually replies directly to him and says, I'm not surprised at all. That was to inoculate the public. As a prominent woke advocate, you should understand that. Yale is the epicenter of the woke mind virus attempting to destroy civilization. I mean, he is out throwing bows. And then he had this David Rothschild, which is, you know, hilarious. A Rothschild is out here talking about how mean words are happening to him on the internet. I insulted Elon Musk yesterday on Twitter. Okay, so full stop. You insulted him. Okay, so you started it. There are so many of these clowns that are like, oh man, like I punched this beehive and all these racist bees came out and stung me. You know, it's like all this insanity. Okay, so again, you admit to insulting him. Then, so far the next 24 to 48 hours, there will be, or so for the next 24 to 48 hours, there will be hundreds of replies drowning out whatever I say with something witty like, shut up, Jewish man, fulfilling Elon's vision of free speech. So no actual evidence of that at the time of this tweet. Fulfilling Elon's vision of free speech utopia, where anyone who speaks truth to power is drowned out with hate. Oh, you are, again, David Rothschild, white man, talking about privilege. Perfect, no notes. You could see, you can call it Elon Musk for being white and privileged, and that's all good. But when we call you out for being Jewish, then it's hate. Sounds hypocritical, Mr. Rothschild. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that he's Jewish. I don't know why people know that about him. I don't know that. You see a lot of the replies here. No clue who you are, but you do not sound like you would be fun at a party. Breaking, a nobody just insulted Elon Musk and nobody cares. I mean, like, it's insane. And then earlier today, now you see just Elon not even caring, right? Like tweeting out this one, ladies, mansplaining is short for man explaining. And then of course the bots, I can't really read this. John McCain just made a startling public something. I can't really read what this is. It's just, I don't know if I'm supposed to be able to read this, but then him saying, you know what, it's all bots. A Twitter board saying always has been, you know, and him retweeting daily reminder that your brain on Twitter is being hijacked by an algorithm designed to do one thing, maximize engagement. The most efficient way to do that is through anger. That's also true. You know, and you see, unless it is stopped, the woke mind virus will destroy civilization and humanity will never reach Mars. I think he's just, you know, having a laugh at the expense here. Replying to Niche Gamer, good night, sweet mace, maestro, and flights and angels sing thee to thy rest. Talking about a true genius. You know, I think Elon's pretty pissed today. You know, declaring himself a Republican, or at least that he would vote Republican, has people freaking out. The stock market is not doing well and it will continue to not do well. And people will continue to go after Elon because that's what they do. It's the hilarious double standard where, like, it's fine when Zuckerberg has all this control and he's a billionaire and this and that, but when Elon has it, that's not okay. And so anybody kind of pushing that message is always is you should be like wary of. You know, yes, he will face a legal nightmare if he walks away from the deal. I don't think he will. I think that he, you know, wants to fix Twitter, and I think that he may not be able. He may not have the resources to deal with whatever it is Twitter thinks they're doing here, because we're gonna find out about these bots one way or another, whether they force the deal through, or whether Elon, you know, and Elon divulges it, or they have to divulge it before the purchase. We're gonna find out just how many bots there are on Twitter, and I guarantee you it's a lot higher than 5%, and people are scared. And this is what scared people look like. The removing of Tesla from the ESG seems purely political to me. It seems like a way to try and control or silence him. And there's a whole lot of reasons for that. And this is the kind of stuff you should be paying attention to.
And last up, Amber gets help from Disney and other liars.
We've got quite a few little tidbits from the events of today. Things are cooling off a little bit in terms of like explosive testimony, but we also got some information from Jerry Bruckheimer confirming now that J-Day is for sure out and that the latest Pirates of the Caribbean film will in fact be with Margot Robbie. See this article abounding in the comments. Pirates of the Caribbean producer Jerry Bruckheimer confirms J-D is out developing film with Margot Robbie. Bruckheimer confirmed that J-D was out while speaking to the Times in the UK to promote the upcoming Top Gun Maverick film. First, Bruckheimer confirmed he is indeed developing a new Pirates film and has two scripts in development. Not only does he have two scripts in development, but he's also in talks with Margot Robbie to star in one of them. I think she probably would do fine. You know, how people get kind of burnt out on actors or actresses, you know, certainly I think she's getting close to that. Like, oh, it's DC. She's a female action hero, but I don't think she's particularly good or bad. I don't think she said anything particularly annoying or anything like that. It's just, I don't know. Margot Robbie surprise. Like, I don't know. When asked if he was working on a sequel with a female lead, he said, yes. We're talking to Margot Robbie. We're developing two pirate scripts, one with her and one without. The Times then asked, will J.D. be back? Bruckheimer responded, not at this point. However, he didn't completely shut the door by saying, the future is yet undecided. Well, yeah, he kind of did. I mean, he basically said, nah, player, not happening, not going to be in it. And that's really not super surprising. It's good timing, to be honest with you, in terms of like what's going on in court, because maybe he'd be able to now say like, hey, I can confirm now that I definitely lost, the Pirates gig because of this. Now this, also in the latest article today, confirming that AH is still under investigation in Australia over perjury and the dog debacle. We know this. I remember this video that they shot apologizing. It was one of the cringiest things ever. It was totally one of those dumb, like Hollywood, our rules don't apply to us. Neither one of them looked good in that. But today, you know, going with like the most recent news in terms of the trial, we have a couple different testimonies. Well, Alan Barkin described, you know, JD in a negative light while they were hooking up. Then a Disney exec denies, this is kind of a bombshell. A Disney executive denied that AH's op-ed led to the decision to remove JD from Pirates of the Caribbean. This is a very an important fact. It goes to, you know, the $50 million in damages. The one primary job that I think everyone felt like he did in fact lose was Pirates of the Caribbean. Tina Newman, production executive at Walt Disney Studios, denied that any decision maker at the company led the company to keep JD out of the sixth Pirate of the Caribbean film. JD's attorneys have claimed that he suffered monetary damages in the form of a lost deal with Disney over being dropped from the Pirates of the Caribbean due to the op-ed. Newman was responsible for gathering documents as a corporate designee for Disney and testified that none of the documents she saw had reference to any matter to the 2018 op-ed. Are you aware of any decision maker outside of Disney? And by this, I am including producers, directors, people of that ilk who have ever said that they were not considering him for this movie because of the op-ed. She said no. Now, before people jump down my throat, yes, the jury can interpret this any way they like. And the jury could absolutely come back and say like, nah, I mean, they didn't say it out loud, but why wouldn't you have him in the film? You know, it's like, they very well could be full of baloney. They just could be. And they don't want to say that's why it is, because they know that might open them to litigation. Like if they come out and say, hey, we did this because of the op-ed, then what's going to happen is if JD wins his case, then he could go after Disney and say that you used a defamatory document to cost me money. So they're probably just covering their own rear there. Then, she's trying to do the best she can. They had an executive, social media expert talk about, you know, all the negative hashtags, the justice for Johnny, we just don't like you, you know. And then obviously the most famous most famous one, the reference to what do the people call him, a grumpy, the grumpy that was left behind, you having the programmer take the stage. So you know, like, it's been interesting. What we now know is that, like, obviously this is not going to be a total slam dunk. I still think that from the start, it was never really about winning the $50 million. It was never really about probably winning the case. But what it was about was making sure, like, shining a light to the public on, you know, just dragging somebody down with you. I think that's probably what was driving a lot of this decision making. Now, there are purists out there that believe, oh no, Johnny definitely thought he was going to win the $50 million, and that it was, I don't think he has to win that to quote unquote win. I still think that he will get acting jobs even if he doesn't win this, and maybe not in the immediate future, but he will. They won't be paying $20 million a role, but we did already see Robert Downey Jr. come out and say that he wants to put him in the next Holmes movie. I thought there was some talk about Beetlejuice or something along that lines. I can't remember exactly. The guy is still talented, and I think he'll still probably get work. But it's interesting, you know, to see the media, you know, going apex level cope. You know, AH and the death of Me Too. You have this, there are ambiguities in the sordid conflict between the two, but some things are clear. JD texted a friend that he wanted to end her, and then hook up with her burnt corpse afterwards. Then there's a video of him smashing kitchen cabinets while she tried to say calm down. All I did was say sorry. On the audio recording, she tells him to say terrible things. Again, this person very conveniently omitting all of the other things on tape, or the things that were admitted to by AH, you know, the previous case in the airport that was brought up in court as well. You know, and you see, if JD somehow prevails, one can expect similar suits against other women who say they've survived. Incorrect. Already the singer Marilyn Manson has filed a defamation suit against Rachel Wood, one of the several women who have accused him of bad behavior. But JD needn't succeed in court to achieve his ends. In a 2016 email to his former agent, Christian Carino, JD wrote that AH was begging for total global humiliation. Now this televised trial has resulted in an explosion of hatred and derision directed at her, the volatile actress who at times also was bad and never made good on the promise to donate her entire divorce settlement to charity, is far from a perfect victim. That made her the perfect object of the backlash. Meaning, yeah, she just wasn't honest. She wasn't telling the truth. And I think people saw through that. People knew, you know, exactly kind of what kind of person she was and, you know, what to expect. And they weren't really fooled by a lot of the shenanigans that were going on. And ultimately, you know, you have a scenario where she's just bad for everybody, bad for herself, bad for everyone around. But you get this huge op-ed, right? A huge op-ed in the New York Times basically saying, like, look, I mean, she ruined it for the rest of us. She ruined it for the rest of us who wanted to lie with impunity. She ruined it for the rest of us who, you know, just wanted to ruin men's careers and livelihoods because we were bad or we were mad at them. Look, these two were obviously a bad couple, you know, chemistry wise, they were bad for each other. And there's no denying that. But again, where I've stood on this all along is that only one of them suffered any real career damaging outcomes. Now, you could argue, which she hasn't, DC terminating her contract for the Aquaman movies. You could argue that that is in and of itself some backlash, some consequences for the bad behavior. And you might be right in saying that. I don't think things are going well. You know, I think that it's weird how the media has shifted. You know, it's probably a result of the new PR firm that's on the scene and has better connections than the other one, because you see, you know, a lot of people here, you know, talking about negative tweets. There are a lot of people who in these depositions that have some, you know, disparaging stories. You know, Alan Barkin recalled that he tossed a wine bottle at her back in the 90s. You know, he was mad at his friends or assistant in the room, and he did this thing. So, I mean, I guess not good for him. But, you know, of course, JD has, you know, basically saying, like, look, she wasn't exactly great either. I mean, I'm sure he's just attracted to, you know, not the best kind of women. But this, the executive saying that the op-ed had nothing to do with the firing is definitely them definitely them covering, doing like CYA. You see, expert, all of hashtag justice for JD tweets were negative towards AH. Again, so what? I'm not sure that that matters. Like, so what about the social media, the social media? I'm not sure why that matters. But now we know that, you know, that he's basically been confirmed out. We know that, you know, Disney is at least publicly trying to distance themselves. It's going to be interesting how all this all wraps up. I'll be interested to see what you think happened, you know, where you think we're at after today. You know, a lot of spicy testimony, not all of it looking good for JD. Do you think the jury is checked out? A lot of people told me last night on Twitter that people inside the room have basically said, like, the jury's not even watching. They're not even paying attention. Like, they're just totally out to lunch on this. They're sick of all of it. Maybe they've already made up their minds. It's difficult to know. I hope you enjoyed this video, though. We'll talk to you again real soon.